Welcome to the podcast at High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas, a place where the Word of God becomes a way of life. Our hope is that this resource will help you to know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and ultimately to make a difference. We invite you to open up your heart and get ready to hear what God wants to speak to you through this message. Let's listen in.
How's everyone doing today? Good? I love Sunday mornings. It's one of my favorite days. So first, let me start by saying thank you, Pastor Tim, for letting me come in here and share a word. And for y'all that are maybe new here, Pastor Tim, he's not only a friend, but he's an amazing pastor. He's my pastor. I love him. I love that he has a heart for this city. He wants to see the city change. He wants to see it get better. And I just really appreciate that. So thank you, brother. Let's start by welcoming those joining us online. Can we give them a round of applause? Well, welcome. We're glad you're here. I know what they're thinking. They're like, man, good day to stay home. Guest speaker. Good day to watch it online. No, we're glad you're here. Thank you for joining us online, and we appreciate you being here. I'm really excited about what God's put on my heart and what I want to share with y'all. And I don't know about you guys, but I am so excited that we are heading into fall. I have the dad bod, and I'm going to just tell you right now, even my mom asked me, are you preparing for a cold summer? I don't like sweating. It's too much. It's like work, and I don't even do anything. I just start sweating. It's hot. But what I love about fall the most is football season. Anyone with me? Football season. Come on. Cowboys? Probably 8-8 again this year, but that's all right. I don't know about you, but I love football. I love boxing. I love anything with contact. Like, I don't even want the 15-yard flags anymore. Let's just let them hit each other and knock each other out on the field, right? Anyone with me? I want to see that hard hit. Like, I don't know about you, but I love watching like the NFL films where they just show people getting creamed over and over again. Like, that's the whole point why we watch football. I want to see the hits. And the funniest thing was, looking back when I was in better shape and much younger, I used to play a lot of sports. I boxed, I played football. I just love contact sports. MMA, any of those things. I did kung fu, jiu-jitsu, all those things, and I love it. And the reason why is I just love to see people get hit, and I love being involved in it, and it's fun, at least for me. I didn't even mind. I was the one getting hit most of the time. So, but the funny thing was my coaches and trainers would all ask me the same question, because if you play a contact sport, you're going to have something happen to you. And they'd ask me, are you hurt or are you injured? And I love that, because if I was hurt, it meant that I could keep fighting. Like, you're going to suck up the pain, you're going to go through, and you're just going to keep fighting. We don't need to pull you out. You're going to keep going and plowing through and plowing through and plowing through. The second thing is, are you injured? Which means you need medical treatment. I remember one time I broke my collarbone, and I told the coach I was hurt, and the second time I got hit in it, I had a tear running down my eye, and I was like, I'm injured. I'm done. But the funny thing is, I say this to my kids all the time, and I somewhat feel like a bad parent sometimes, because I'm like, you're not injured. You're hurt. The ball hit you in the face. You're not bleeding. Nothing's broken. You're going to be all right. And I say that to them all the time, and my kids know that if they're not bleeding, if it's not an ER visit, they're just hurt. They're not injured. And you know, I work from home quite a bit in a home office, and one day we are celebrating 2 years of marriage, my beautiful wife and I, tomorrow. I love you. But we have 5 kids. We're a blended family, and I'm going to tell you right now, it's chaos 24/7. I mean, it's 5 kids. They're screaming, hollering about something. It doesn't matter what. And if you're a dad, I'm just gonna throw us under the bus a little bit. We don't really watch kids, we listen to kids. Am I the only one that does this? I'm like, nope, they're yelling at each other, they'll be fine. They'll get through it. Yep, one. No, you must have irritated her. She's screaming her head off at you. But there's a difference between yelling at each other and yelling in pain. And one day I heard it, and the funny thing is, our house, we have parquet floors. And if you're not familiar with parquet floors, imagine that big Jenga puzzle being thrown down on the ground and then glued down. It's just little pieces of wood every different way. It's like a puzzle on the floor. When they pop up, the good thing is you just glue it back down. You're good to go for another year. But our middle child, Caroline, was running through the house chasing after her sibling. They were causing all kinds of ruckus, and I heard a different scream. It wasn't the scream like, oh, you irritated me. It was a scream like, I'm dying. This is horrible. This hurts. And what happened was, one of the tile pieces popped up and jammed right into her foot. And it splintered off, and a piece of wood was sticking out, and you could hear her screaming. My wife was home, and she said, "Oh, you need to come see this too." I don't know why, she's the nurse. I don't want to look at it. I was like gagging. I can't do it. I'm not the medical professional. But we take her back in the room, and this piece of wood sticking out. I'm like, ooh. And my job was to hold her foot down, which is not the fun part of the job. Let me just tell you, I'd rather pull the splinter out than hold down a screaming child who's so sweet. And it just breaks your heart. And so we pull the piece of wood out. We remove it, and we're like, yeah, we got this. This is awesome. All right, you'll be all right. Your foot is black and blue and purple in 30 seconds, but you'll be all right. And we start feeling, and there's like a lump underneath. And we go, you know what? Maybe we should take her to the ER. So we take her to the ER, and the doctor, we're waiting. And, you know, she's all right. She's like, it hurts. But we're waiting and waiting and waiting. And finally, they do an x-ray, and they come back, and they go, Mr. and Mrs. Case, you cleaned it out really good. There was no wood in there. We didn't see anything. You're good to go. We high-fived each other. Yeah, this is great. But deep down inside, here's what I really thought. Man, I just wasted $150. I went to the ER, and they didn't find anything. Like, my kids, they better have something wrong with them if I'm taking you to the doctor and paying the copay. No, that's terrible. That's terrible. I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. But the funny thing was this. The next 2-3 days, she was hobbling around on it. And unlike my parents would tell me, you could stay home from school if you threw up or had a fever. That's it. You went to school any other time. I think they just wanted me out of the house. But we let her stay home, and she's hobbling around on it. We could tell it still hurt. And the funny thing was, after about 3 days, when you pushed on it, pus would come out. Y'all that watch Dr. Pimple Popper and all these other shows, Tobro, it's disgusting. Okay, I don't know. Like, my kids are like, can we watch this? No. Turn that off. That's nasty. I'm not made for that. My wife's like, this is amazing. No, it's not. And the funny thing is this, like, we could squeeze it and pus would come out and pus would come out. So after a few days, we said, you know what? We need to take her back to the doctor. Something's not right. And so we go back, and they clean it out, and they go back in, and they see this little piece of wood. It was so small. It was a small, small sliver, but it was causing an infection. It was causing pain. It was shooting up her leg. They took that little sliver out, and 2-3 days later, the funny part is, she's running around the house. She's great. She's not complaining. She gets back in ballet, and it was healed. And the funny thing is, and I'm a visual learner, so I'll do one more demonstration here to show you, and I think this is a child-sized sling, so please forgive me. Of course, pick up the mic. There you go. But if I walk around with an arm sling on and I go places, people will be like, Doug, what happened? Did you fall? Did you get hurt? Did you break your arm? What happened? And the cool thing is they'll even go get a donut for me. They'll hold the door for me. I might just leave this on. You never know. But if you don't hear anything else I say, please hear this. People see visible wounds. Jesus sees the ones you bury. People see visible wounds. Jesus sees the ones you bury, the ones that you put deep down inside. And I want to just say this to you. You need to hear this today. He loves you way too much to leave you in that state. He doesn't want you walking around hurt. He doesn't want you to be in pain. And what happens is pressure exposes how you dealt with past pain. Pressure exposes past pain. So that when you're dealing with life's pressure, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your job, whether it's finances, anything that challenges you, what will come out is how you dealt with your past pain. Just like Caroline, when we pushed on her foot, because we didn't get rid of that pain and that thing that was causing it, pus came out. The same thing happens to you in life. Turn to me to Psalm 13. I have the Passion Translation up here if you have your mobile Bible. If you have the hard copy, you're going to have to just go off your version. But I love the Passion Translation because it captures some of the emotion. And I love this psalm because it was after David was anointed. He knew that he had a call in his life. He knew he was going to be a king. And here's what happened. He was hunted down by a jealous boss. Y'all may have some bad bosses, but David's boss was trying to kill him. Like, your boss isn't trying to kill you. He may be trying to fire you, but he's not trying to kill you. And Saul's pressure and pain from past decisions resulted in jealousy. He didn't get healing. He didn't take his pain and his mistakes to God and his wounds. He tried to control it himself. And it didn't result in something good and prosperous. It was a bad fruit. It was jealousy. But what I love about this psalm is David knew he had greatness. He knew that he had a purpose. And in this church, we want you to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. We believe each and every one person here has a purpose. a God-given destiny to change your surrounding. You're here not just to earn a paycheck and wake up every day and pay bills. You're here for a purpose, to influence, to impact. But see, David knew that he had this purpose. He knew that he was called. He slayed a giant even prior to this. And David did what I do when I'm facing pain. He isolated. I may not isolate. And in this psalm, he went in a cave. But for me, it's, you know what? I don't want to go to dinner with someone because I'm just not in the mood. Hey, I don't want to talk to friends because, you know, this hurts too bad. Hey, I'm going to sit here and zone out and just watch some TV and ignore my wife and kids because I just had a bad day. Instead of addressing what really hurt during that day or past hurts and really getting healing from it. And this psalm represents so much how I've reacted when I've had pain. Verse 1 says, I'm hurting, Lord. Will you forget me forever? How much longer, Lord? Will you look the other way when I'm in need? I find there's 5 common reactions that I've had in painful situations. I hope they relate to you. I hope that you can understand that David did this, I did this, you might do it. I may not hit every single one, but the first one is, I think God stopped listening. When I'm in pain, when I'm walking through a hard time, I think God just stopped listening. And even David said this. He says, Lord, will you forget me forever? You can hear his pain that, God, are you not even seeing what's going on? Do you not see what I'm walking through? And I know there's times in my life that I was like, God, do you not see this? Are you blind? The second thing David did, and I do too, is I think I'm alone. Like no one's ever had this problem, so I'm going to isolate because no one knows how to deal with this except me. David said, God, will you look the other way when I'm in need? And I found that I've questioned that too. Like, God, this is painful. This hurts. I don't feel you're near me. Are you even seeing this? You're looking the other way. Verse 2 says, how much longer must I cling to this constant grief? I've endured the shaking of my soul. How much longer will my enemy have the upper hand? It's been long enough. And I love how he says that right there. Like, God, I'm at the end of my rope. It's been long enough. And when I'm in pain, the third thing I do is I start to lack faith. I start demanding answers from God, and that's what David did too. And I don't know about you, but he doesn't like to answer me when I demand an answer. He'll help build patience anytime. Be like, God, answer me now. No, wait. And the funny thing is, we just start to lack faith. Verse 3 goes into, take a good look at me, God, and answer me. Breathe your life into my spirit. Bring light to my eyes in this pitch black darkness, or I will sleep the sleep of death. The fourth thing I do when I'm facing pain, when I'm pressing through pain, is I complain. I love to complain. Being negative is so much easier than being positive when you're in pain. It just is. It's natural. And the funny thing is, not only do I complain, but I stole this from Pastor Tim because he's one of the funniest guys I know, but he said, this is the Jerry Jones syndrome. Like, we look back like, man, we had championships. We were good. You know, look at all the rings we had. But I'll tell you this, too. There's a lot of arrest warrants, too. See, we forget that everyone was getting arrested on the Cowboys in the 90s because we looked at the Super Bowl championships. And the same thing could be said about the New England Patriots right now. Some of those people can sit there and tell you this was the worst time of my life. Yeah, I look like I'm on top, but I'm not. And we forget because we're currently in pain or a constant situation right now that we forget what God already walked us through. And I know you may not be in pain today, but I guarantee there's going to be challenges coming. I don't see in the Bible where when you're a believer, the challenges don't come. Verse 4 says, don't let my enemy proclaim I prevailed over him, for my adversaries will celebrate when I fall. The fifth thing I do after I withdraw, after I isolate, after I feel like God left me and I'm complaining, is I fear a breakthrough isn't coming. See, I start hearing my own voice, God's not going to come through. God, you're not doing anything on my time, so maybe I need to take care of it. Maybe I need to push. I mean, David is picturing someone standing over him saying, I prevailed over you, and he slayed a giant. He forgot what God brought him through. He's so focused on his current situation of Saul, who honestly was not man enough to do what God called him to do, that he hid from him and thinks, God, you're not going to give me a breakthrough right now. But watch what David does in the next verse, and I love this. Verse 5 says, Lord, I have always trusted in your kindness, so answer me. See, before David was saying, God, answer me now. It's been long enough. I'm done. And I know when I'm walking through pain, that's how I get. But what David did was he started to focus on what God has already done. I've trusted in your kindness, so God, answer me. He says it a different way. He's like, God, I know you're going to answer me, so just answer me when you're ready. I will celebrate with passion and joy when your salvation lifts me up. I will sing my song of joy to you, the Most High, for in all this you have strengthened my soul. I'm going to pause right there because what I love is David before was saying, my soul's endured enough. I can't take this anymore. And what he's realizing as he goes to praise and worship and remembering what God did for him is say, you know what, God, even though it's painful, even though it's stretched me, it strengthened me. You strengthened me. There was a reason for my pain. There was a reason, and I need to hold on to that. For my enemies will say I have no savior, but I know that I have one in you. David turned to prayer and remembered that God never failed him. He changed his perspective. And you can turn your pain into your testimony by giving it to Jesus. That's what you're supposed to do. You're not walking through this pain. You didn't walk through those past hurts for no reason. It's your testimony. It's to build the kingdom. God's going to use it. Yes, did he want those bad things to happen? No, but he will use it. And he strengthened your soul even though it was hard. So as I was praying about this, I asked, you know, how do I press through my pain? And this is something I've had to walk through a lot the last few years, is how do I press through my pain, the pain of a broken marriage, the pain of disappointment, the pain of my career not working out the way I wanted it to? How do I press on this? And the first thing that I think that we need to do is date Jesus. Date Jesus. I think that could almost be a John Chris shirt and be funny, like, no, I'm just waiting for the right one. I'm going to date Jesus. Just waiting for that guy that comes through or girl that comes through. I'm dating Jesus. Hashtag date Jesus. But I honestly want it so I can tell people, like, spend time with him. My wife and I are celebrating our 2-year anniversary tomorrow. I love it. God is a God of redemption, and we've grown so much in the last 2 years. And here's what I love. The one thing that we schedule is date night every week. See, I believe a lot of you are married to Jesus. I believe a lot of you have already taken that step. But I think a lot of us need to always be intentional. I have to date my wife. We date weekly because we have 5 kids and we have jobs and the schedule is demanding. But we prioritize that time together. And what you need to do is you need to prioritize that time with Jesus. I have date nights with my wife, but I have scheduled daily time in prayer, reading my Bible, and listening to the Lord. I schedule it daily. And I don't let it get away from me. And here's the reason why. Life will get busy. And it will get pushed to the end of your day. It'll get pushed to the next day. And it will get pushed and pushed and pushed. That's what happens. But if you really want to hear God, you have to be in his word. You have to be listening to him. 2 Chronicles 7:14 through 15 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, which means to repent. We need to repent and turn from it and seek God with everything that we have. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I don't know about you, but I want God to hear my prayers. I want God to heal this city. This is why we're doing a conference with multiple churches in the city, because we want to turn from what we did in the past and we want to make this a healthy place. We want to see God move. The second thing you need to do, you need to get in a group. Get in a group. It's the best thing we can do for you. I know what I was like when I first heard get in a group. And August 25th, we're kicking off groups. You can sign up online. We have an information desk out there that you can sign up for a group. Get in a group. And the first time I heard that, I was like, I don't want to be in a group. I don't want to share with people. I don't know these people. I see them on Sundays and wave and have coffee. I don't want to sit with them and tell them my problems. The best thing was I was walking through a failed marriage, the first group I dove all in with. And my group leader walked through the same thing 20 years ago. And he had a testimony that he used and shared with me. And you have a testimony that someone needs to hear. And you have wounds that need healing that only someone else can give you by talking about it. No one has done open heart surgery on themselves, so you need a team. You're not going to do it yourself. James 5:16 says this, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. See, I hated this verse growing up. I did, because I grew up Catholic. And I was told, go tell your priest your sins and go pray over yourself and watch you get healing. And it never happened. And I couldn't understand, God, you want me to go tell somebody, but I don't get any healing from it. It just makes me feel worse and worse and worse. And here's the thing. God's not telling you to come to your pastor, your priest. He's telling you to do it with each other. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, one believer sharpens another. We have to do it together. And with this verse, when you look at it, it says, the verse says, if you confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Once I got in a group, once I opened up, once I knocked those walls down, I got healing. Because I had to be myself. I had to take the mask off and say, this hurts. This was painful. Things from my childhood still hurt me. Things like being called an accident. It hurt. But I realized God had a purpose because I got in a group and someone spoke life to me. The third thing you have to do, and this steps on everyone's toes, and it hurt me, but you have to pray for those who wounded you. Pray for those who wounded you. This was the most uncomfortable prayer I've ever had. Number one, I'd probably be bawling during the middle of it. Number two, I was probably challenged. And number three, I just didn't want to pray for these people. I had to push through what my feelings were and just make a choice that, God, I'm going to follow your word and I'm going to pray for those that wounded me and wounded me deep. Matthew 5:43-48 says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Imagine the next time someone says something nasty or does something that you don't like, that you just start praying for them. God, I hope you bless them. God, I hope they hear your voice. God, I hope that you change them. I'm not saying you can't have boundaries. You need boundaries with people. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's nothing in the Bible that says you can't pray for those who wounded you. That you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on evil and good and sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Don't even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. You are not the judge and jury. That's God's job. Your job is to pray and hand it over to him. Let him deal with it. The fourth thing after you get to date Jesus and you're intentional with your time with that and you get in a group and you pray for those that wounded you, I'd encourage you to do this over and over again. Don't quit. Just don't quit. You know, the only failure that you're going to reach or have is when you do quit. That's failure. There's, you know, the Bible says there's a harvest if we just keep going. Don't quit. There's so many times in my life I wanted to quit. And even this week I was listening to a sermon and they said, you know, even Jesus asked the Father to take the cup from him. He wanted to quit, but the difference is he didn't. He pushed through. It's your will, God, not mine. This pain is happening for a reason. It's happening for my testimony. It's happening so I can impact someone in my life. Don't quit. You're going to want to. I want to quit so many times in my life, and I hate admitting that. Even as a man, I hate admitting that I want to quit. And I had people tell me, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. My small group leaders, don't quit. My pastors, don't quit. And I'm like, why do you keep telling me don't quit? I'm not going to quit. And then a time came when I'm like, I want to quit. This is hard. I want to quit. And I remember, don't quit. Push through it. Philippians 4:11-13, Paul's in prison. And, you know, I'll tell you this. I haven't been to prison, but I put myself through some prison bars, some emotional prisons that I couldn't get out of from deep wounds. And what I found is when I trust Jesus with my wounds, when I seek him, I found the same thing as Paul. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. See, you don't quit when you realize that your identity is Jesus. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it's painful. Yeah, I'm sorry for whatever happened to you in the past. But when you go to Jesus with it, he's going to tell you, don't quit. Just keep going, keep going, keep going. You'll find how to be content. You'll find that he's enough, that you can get through this painful situation because of him. So as I close up, if you put your Bibles away, I just have one last question for you, and then we'll pray. Let me ask you this. Are you injured or are you hurt? And there's one physician that can heal this all, and his name is Jesus. Jesus is the great physician. He will heal your wounds. He will pull it out. And there's simple steps like groups that can do this. But this is where we take off our mask with the Lord and we have a conversation with him and say, I'm still hurt. I'm still wounded.
Hey friends, this is Pastor Tim once again coming to you from High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas. I want to thank each of you for listening personally to this message, but I need you to understand that this is not a replacement for a good church home. So if you're ever in the Longview area, we would love to see you and meet you and hear your story and hear what God's doing in your life. So drop by one of our Sunday services. If you want to check us out online, it's perfectly okay as well, highridgelv.com. Let me just talk to you for one last moment about your walk with Christ. Maybe you're watching today and you're saying to yourself, Pastor, if I'm going to be really honest with you, I don't know where my walk with Christ is. I'm not sure if I've asked him in my heart. I'm not sure what happens at the end of my life. Or maybe you're saying, I used to walk with God, but I've gotten away from him. Friend, whether you've never asked Christ into your heart or you've walked away from him, I believe that if you could see it right now, God himself is reaching down his hand to you. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. I found myself in the exact same place many years ago, and I didn't know what to do, but I knew that something needed to change. I needed help. Somebody loved me enough to help me. It led me in a simple prayer, and I'd love to have the same wonderful opportunity to do that with you as well. So if that's you today and you've never asked Christ into your heart, or maybe you used to walk with Christ, but you walked away from him and he knows it, you know it, then let me pray this prayer with you. You can say this out loud or in your heart right where you are. I believe that God will hear this prayer and your life will absolutely change today. So pray with me. Prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came and died but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me. Heal me. Change me. I give myself to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, friend, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I am so thrilled about the decision that you just made. Would you do me a favor? Go online and send me a message if that's okay. highridgelv.com/contact and click on the tab that says send us a message. Let us know what just happened inside of your heart so we can send you some resources and help you out in your walk with Christ. That would mean a lot to us if you would. I want to say a very special thank you for your generosity, for your tithes and offerings. The way that you guys have financially supported us is just incredible. We could not do it without you. If you'd like to financially support us as well, you can go to highridgelv.com/give. If you'd feel so inclined. So once again, thank you for tuning in. We love you. God bless.